It's time for another edition of Dirk's Dugout Reflections, where Larry Durker talks about some moments in Astros history. Today, Dirk talking about some of the first players to wear the uniform of the Houston Colt 45s.
Shoot them down, Houston Colts, fire away, Houston Colts, they're in the game to stay. Shoot them down, Houston Colts, blast away, Houston Colts, we're with you all the way.
In the mid to late 1960s, the Astros were bursting with young talent. Rusty Staub was the first to surface at the age of 19. He had a borderline Hall of Fame career. Jimmy Winn came up at the tender age of 21. Jimmy wasn't quite a Hall of Famer either, but he was a gifted athlete, and his Astros number is retired. Joe Morgan was 20 years old when he joined the Colt 45s in 1963. Like Staub, Joe got away too soon. He was traded to Cincinnati, where he jump-started the Big Red Machine, won two league MVP awards, and went straight to the Hall of Fame as soon as he was eligible. Bob Watson came up at the age of 22. He played first base and left field, but his greatest strength was as a slugger, an RBI man. He played 19 years and hit for the cycle in both leagues. Doug Rader was a fiery character with a tangle of red hair and a hell-bent-for-leather attitude. He became a team leader almost instantly. He had raw power and won five straight gold gloves at third base. Mike Cuellar was another fish that got away. We got him from the Cardinals in 1965. The next year, he set a new team record with a 2.22 ERA. 2 years later, we traded him for Curt Bleffery, and Mike won 125 games in the next 6 years with the Orioles. Don Wilson and I were two young guns on the mound in the late 60s and early 70s.
22-year-old right-hander Don Wilson has pitched no-hit ball against the Braves. Top of the ninth, and he's full up on Aaron. And here comes that 3-2 pitch. He got it! It's all over! A swing and a miss, and Wilson has pitched a no-hitter. Well, there's no need to tell you that that young fella is being mobbed. Everybody out of that Houston dugout.
Don pitched two no-hitters and had an 18-strikeout game. Wilson's career was cut short by an accidental death. Don and I competed with each other in the rotation back then. I was able to pitch a few more years and win a few more games. Both his number 40 and my 49 hang retired in the rafters at Minute Maid Park. Think of all this as a foundation. The superstructure is coming up right after this.
Dirk's Dugout Reflections continues as Dirk discusses Cesar Cedeno's Major League debut.
Cesar Cedeno was born in Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic in 1950. 19 years later, he made his debut with the Astros. At the time, Cubs manager Leo Durocher said that Cedeno was the most talented rookie he had seen since Willie Mays. CC came up mid-season in 1970 and hit .310 the rest of the way with 7 home runs, 40 RBIs, and 17 steals. They started calling him Super Baby. On August 2, 1972, he terrorized the Reds.
That base hit to right center field. The barrel end goes, it gets by Tolan. It's going all the way to the wall. Metzger scores. Geronimo throws it back in over Cheney's head, and Cedeno is in with a three-base hit. Cedeno has hit for the cycle. A home run, a single, a double, and a triple for Cedeno tonight. That is the cycle for Cedeno.
On July 2, 1976, he beat the Reds twice, almost by himself, going 7-for-11 in a doubleheader. His two-run bomb in the 14th off Rich Hinton won the opener 10-8. Then in the nightcap, CC delivered an eighth-inning double to beat Fred Norman 3-2. About a week later in the All-Star game, he came up to bat in the bottom of the eighth with Ken Griffey on first and Frank Tanana on the mound. It was the first All-Star homer for an Astros player. It seemed like there was nothing in the land of baseball that Cesar Cedeno couldn't conquer. As it turned out, his career flamed out early, but added to Staub, Wynn, Morgan, Watson, Rader, Cuellar, Wilson, and Durker, well, you get the idea. Could it have become a big orange machine? J.R. Richard came ambling onto the scene a year later in 1971. With a loose, shambling gait and shoulders like Paul Bunyan's, JR was an awesome force. The Giants certainly got their fill of him in the twilight of a twin bill at Candlestick Park on September 5th in his Major League debut. How did he feel?
I felt just as natural as rain that day.
When J.R. fanned the side of the ninth to finish with 15 punchouts, he tied a major league record. The first few years, Richard struggled with control from time to time, but he kept getting better. In 1976, he really hit his stride, saving his finishing kick for the Dodgers and Giants. To win 20, he had to start his last two games on short rest. The first was at Dodger Stadium, a three-hitter, all singles, no walks. Then on the last day of the season, he faced the Giants in the Dome. JR gave up a run in the first, then took over with the bat, driving in a run in the second, and two more with a home run in the sixth. Final score, 10-1. Added up, 20-15, ERA, 2.75. In 1978, he struck out 303 batters to lead the league. By 1979, he was perhaps the best pitcher in baseball. 18 more wins, and this time 313 strikeouts. In 1980, it looked like he was going to get even better. Heading toward the All-Star game, he started a scoreless streak. On June 11th, he extended it.
Pitch to him. Oh. That's a little fly ball to left center field. JR's got his third shutout. Cedeno, it's all over. J.R. Richards, three consecutive shutouts, 31 and two-thirds innings, without allowing a run. That's some kind of chunking. Six-hitter tonight, final score, Astros 3, Cubs nothing.
On July 8th, J.R. started the All-Star game in L.A. and posted two scoreless frames, hitting 100 miles an hour on the gun several times. His record stood at 10-4 at the time, and his ERA was 1.96. But something was wrong. His arm felt dead. He felt nauseous on the mound. Several weeks later, the big man had a stroke that ended his career. But think what the young guns that started in the 60s with the Colt 45s and Astros could have done in the 70s with JR and Super Baby. It could have been an orange crush.
No place else but Houston. Astros number one.
Oh, and by the way, the Astros got Jose Cruz in 1974 for next to nothing.
Go,
but that's a story unto itself.